As this is April 9th, and we prepare to celebrate Holy Thursday, and with it, what's known as Maundy Thursday. And since we're not worshiping together again, even though on Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday, we would celebrate communion, the empty paten and chalice are here to remind us of that, as well as on Maundy Thursday there would be a hand washing instead of a foot washing, and this shell would be filled with soapy water, which we could all come up and just as in the scriptures, John, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Since we are not here in the sanctuary together as a congregation, yet we are watching this and conducting this worship service together, just as we would in the sanctuary, but obviously in a different setting. And behind me to the left, you see a rendition of Michelangelo's Last Supper painting, very appropriate for Thursday night as Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room. Good day. And what day is it? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Father God, we come into your presence humbled, some anxious, some nervous, and yet all of us, Lord, trusting in your benevolence, your love, your grace, how so brought to the forefront on this day as Jesus prepares to begin the last section of his Holy Week, which culminates tomorrow, Good Friday, and then resting in the tomb, and then the celebration of Sunday. But today we focus on that night in the upper room where Jesus speaks to his disciples and shares with them a new commandment and shares with us that new commandment. Lord Father God, we come into your presence and we ask the Holy Spirit to be here with us, because you tell us that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you are there also. So we welcome the Holy Spirit. And in the homes of those who are watching, the Holy Spirit is there with you as well. And may he strengthen you and give you peace. Our call to worship is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Our affirmation of faith is the covenant prayer in the Wesleyan tradition. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with who thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading today, as I said, is from the Gospel of John. Now, before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the scripture is very somber. As we know in the other Gospels, the reading and the writings in that upper room, how the disciples are gathered around him, and this is the Passover. This is the evening that they're celebrating. Back in Moses' time, the Passover, when the people of Israel, the children of Israel, went into their homes, were sealed in their homes, and put the blood of a lamb on the lintel of their doorways. And as the spirit of death, the final plague on Pharaoh, came, the angel of death would pass over that house because it was marked by the blood of the lamb, and the people inside were the children of God, and there were, and thence saved from the lost of their firstborn children. So they celebrated this Passover meal because as they left in such a hurried state, it was a very bitter meal. It was not a great celebration, but each year they celebrated in memory. It's called a Seder meal, and I believe tonight Pastor John Snow is going to do a Seder meal on Facebook at the Zohr Facebook page. So I invite you to check into Zohr this evening or later and check and see how that service goes with the Seder. Well, what's happening here? We know Jesus loves his disciples just as he loves us. We know that he's taught them about love. He's told them, greater love hath no man that he lay down his life for him. Jesus says, God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that God sent Jesus, his own son, into the world that, not to condemn it, but by him the world might be saved. Interesting how Jesus knows, as we look in verse 2, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. Jesus knows this ahead of time. And imagine how Judas felt in this meal, knowing that he'd already made arrangements with the high priest to betray Jesus. And he was going to go to finalize those plans. But the key there is the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. We give ourselves totally to God, to Jesus Christ. We open our hearts totally to Jesus Christ. And there's no room in our hearts for the earthly things, the power, the might, the money. We give our lives totally and completely to Jesus Christ. Now, it's a gradual process, but we, by choice, make choices. And those choices are where we come closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in both serving him by serving the men and women around us, the people that we're blessed with in our lives. Well, one of the interesting things about what Jesus does next is that during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water in a basin, much like that shell, and then went to each of the disciples, and he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now, the interesting thing about this, the historians tell us that servant hierarchy in a household essentially had ranks. And the person who was the lowest of the slaves was the one who, and I'm going to wipe that, who was going to wash the feet of all the people who came in. Because imagine coming in from the streets and what they've been walking in, their sandals, their feet, everything was dirty. So this servant would be employed doing the least pleasant task. And so here Jesus, in this, is he's told them before, if you want to be first, you have to be a servant of all. Not only is he a servant of all, but he's the lowest of servants. So he came to Simon Peter, and Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, you do not know what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, you will not wash my feet. Imagine Peter is feeling that this would be an insult to Jesus, for him, his Lord, his master, to wash his feet. And, you know, as I've said before, you know, the world was turned upside down in their thinking of what a kingdom was and who a king should be and what a king would do. And Jesus turns it right side up and shows that the king is the servant of all. And here he says, Peter, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. So he's telling Peter that if he doesn't let him wash his feet, he's going to have no part of him. Well, Peter, in his typical robust and you know, just emphatic, says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He's so impetuous that once he realizes that Jesus is doing this to make him a part of him, and that he must do this, then he's saying, well, wash not just my feet, but all of me, my head's in my hand. Jesus said to him, one who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but it is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew that who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. Again, referring to Judas Iscariot. And after he'd washed their feet, he puts on his robe and he returns to the table and he said to them, do you not know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have set an example for you, that you should also do as I have done for you. I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Again, he's telling them that their actions are going to leave a greater impression, and that their activities are based on being servants, doing even the lowliest of things for people. Washing, cleaning. This is what Jesus is doing. Now, he tells them, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has also been glorified in him. And we hear this so much throughout John's Gospels, that what Jesus is doing is to the glory of God. The transfiguration was to the glory of God. The healing of the blind man was to the glory of God. The raising of Lazarus from the dead was to the glory of God. That triumphal entry into Jerusalem was to the glory of God. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, the probably the first song that most of us learn in Sunday school is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Again and again, the scriptures tell us that Jesus does, in fact, love us. And what he's doing for us as he prepares, heading to the Garden of Gethsemane after this meal, and after he dispatches Judas Iscariot and says, go quickly and do what you must do. He then takes the disciples and goes to Gethsemane. And we know what happens then, as it's a start and a change to his ministry, and something that is one of the saddest and hardest for us to believe, how Jesus could surrender himself completely to the will of God and become so human as to even be crucified on a cross between two criminals. And he does that out of love for us. And he does it out of obedience to his Father God. Let this lesson be of peace to you. Shalom.
his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Knowing his final destiny was at hand, Jesus knelt and prayed. Who is Jesus? The Lamb of God, preparing for the supreme sacrifice.
Father, I come on bended knee. Father, please let this cup pass from me. Oh, Father, have you forgotten me? Pleading here at Gethsemane. Father, can you hear me pray?
But the cup did pass. Jesus was arrested, tried, and found guilty. His sentence, death by crucifixion.
Father, how could you let this be? Father, why have you forsaken me? Oh, Father, see what they've done to me. Crucified, dying on Calvary. Father, can you hear me pray? Will but thine be done. Pray God's only Son. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Father, Father, I commend myself to you.
A beautiful song that was part of our Easter cantata last year, and the title is In the Garden of Gethsemane, and we can hear the anguish in Jesus' voice as it covers the prayer in Gethsemane, and also his time spent on Golgotha when he asks his Father to forgive those who were crucifying because they don't know what they're doing. And the last words as he is commending himself to God. And it is finished. But we know as the body is taken and laid in the tomb that there's a promise that Jesus made, that Jesus will fulfill. And we trust in that, have faith in that. That is our hope. That is what this whole Easter season is about. As we see crosses being adorned with live flowers here Sunday. And I believe Zohar is going to have a Tenebrae service as well as lower church, and Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it won't be a sunrise service, but there will be a service down at Stingray Point by Zohar Baptist Church. Everybody will remain in their cars with the windows rolled up, and you tune your FM radio to 101.1 and listen to the service as Pastor John brings the message.
we begin a Sunday of celebration. And as we close this worship service, and as you're watching it tonight and before you go to sleep, be thoughtful and mindful that that Thursday night, as Jesus ended his night, his trials were just beginning. And he did it all for you. We look at how the world around us has so much anxiety and fear. And we're worried about this, we're worried about that. And quite rightly so. I continue to urge people to take the safety precautions, the personal protective equipment, the gloves, the masks, the hand sanitizers, and practice social distancing. As this is going to be our occurrence or our common day activities for the next few weeks, at least. But know that this too shall pass, and that we will be with Jesus Christ, and there will be good times again where we will celebrate. Remember that upper room. Remember Jesus as the servant. Remember the cup and the paten, the body and the blood shed and given for you, for your salvation. In Jesus' precious and holy name.